Well, the revelations of widespread drug use by Australia's elite athletes and links with organised crime, these are making plenty of news internationally, especially in Britain. Gordon Farquhar is a senior sports correspondent for the BBC. He joins us from London. Gordon, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Gordon, our Justice Minister, Jason Clear, declared yesterday that the findings are shocking and will disgust Australian sports fans. Can you tell me what's been the reaction there in Britain?
Well, I think when people hear those sorts of remarks, and also very much picked on, you know, comments like the blackest day in Australian sports history, then, you know, we prick our ears up and take notice. There's no doubt at all that this has been widely reported. I think there's a heightened sort of sense of interest in doping stories at the moment because of the, you know, the constant barrage that we've had from the Lance Armstrong case just recently. Mm. And there's always a lot of interest in the concept of cheating in sport and fair play, because I suppose, you know, there's a certain sense of I guess historically there being the custodians of the rules and laws of sport in Britain, and fair play is kind of what we're associated with. I mean, I don't want that to sound pompous, but that sort of does sit there in the British psyche. So I think when we read something about you know, a case like this, or cases like this, widespread cases like this apparently in Australia, and knowing how much Australians love sport themselves and how much it means to people there, I think it's really quite shocking.
Australia too, I think, a nation that prides itself very much not just on its sporting achievements but on this collective notion of fair play. You know, it's very much goes hand in hand with our national image of us as a country. And on top of that, Australia was really at the forefront of drug testing in sport. Do you think this will change the way that Australian sport is viewed when our sportsmen and women travel internationally?
Well, I don't know about that so much. I mean, I think people are realistic these days. You know, the head of the UK anti-doping agency, a guy called Andy Parkinson, said that the UK was vulnerable to exactly the same kind of threats that were highlighted in that report in Australia. I think everybody understands that a lot of this is connected to organised crime. That is something which, you know, has tentacles all over the world. We were talking about it here on Monday about match fixing in football. That dominated our headlines, and that's organised crime that's at the heart of that. I think there will be a certain sense of, until names are named in this, which, you know, my understanding is there's a redacted version of this report with names in it, until that starts to appear in the public domain and the, you know, the sports national bodies are able to start to take action against people who they have evidence against and start to bring cases against them, then I think, you know, you've got that cloud of suspicion that hangs over, and that will be very unwelcome for governing bodies who will want to know the facts behind this and want to do something about it, because it's not in anybody's interest to let these sorts of things fester.
Yeah, and we're all shocked about this and this suggested link, extensive link between organised crime and the major professional codes in this country. But we can't be too Pollyanna about it either. And if we know that our sports, our elite sports teams and our codes, you know, this is a multi-million dollar industry, elite sport now, professional sport, you know, these clubs will do anything to get a winning edge. And I'm sure it's the same in Britain with the soccer clubs there. Has there been any kind of similar investigation to the sports science regimes of the clubs in your country?
Not that I can think of, which is interesting, isn't it?
And you think this should spark one?
Well, you know, I think there's no doubt at all that it brings people, when you take a long, hard look at what's been said in that report, people are going to say, well, could this have happened here? Has this happened here? Have we asked the right questions? And I think people will start to do that. There's no doubt at all. It is a shocking report and it shakes people, and that we understand that once organised crime gets its hooks into things, then there's no knowing where it stops, because if people's personal morality doesn't get in the way of them deciding that they're going to cheat and they don't understand the stakes that they're playing against, which clearly, you know, in some cases in Australia, people have just ignored that side of things, then it can happen to anybody. We're no different here from anybody else. You know, if temptation is there, there are always people that take the shortcut or take the money or cheat or whatever way they can.
And now we're hearing about the use of peptides, which are used, you know, by bodybuilders and in gyms, and not all of these things, as I understand it, are even listed on the WADA banned drug list. Some of these things have not even been tested. They've only been tested on animals yet. And it's all about, as I say, getting that edge. So I think we can assume that if elite athletes here are using it, elite athletes everywhere are doing this. And they're one step ahead of the drug testing regimes again.
Well, that's always been a problem for the drug testers, although they do now have a lot of retrospective measures that they can introduce. If they find something in a series of samples which they later prove to be performance enhancing, they can retrospectively add it and also punish the athletes concerned. They can keep samples for 8 years now in laboratories and retest them to check against them. That happened with samples from the Beijing Games, with athletes recently being banned that weren't caught at the time. You know, the science does catch people up. But, you know, there is this sort of overarching feeling that, you know, there has to be better education. People have to understand the stakes that they're playing and the risk that they're taking for their sport, because the minute that spectators and sponsors don't feel that what they're seeing is real, it's fixed in some way, or it's chemically enhanced, they're going to walk away, and that's going to kill everything for everybody.
And just finally, Gordon, I think we're not used to being at the vanguard of this kind of story here in Australia. We're used to hearing about the Lance Armstrong incident, for instance, or this week, the Europol investigation into match fixing in football that included, you know, World Cup qualifiers, European championships. Where does all this leave, this link, suggestion of match fixing and links with organised crime, leave the integrity of sport globally? Is this discussion being had in your country?
It is. You know, people are worried about this deeply. People are worried about it nationally and internationally because they see the threat that it poses to them. Because if, you know, spectators and sponsors don't believe in what they're seeing, then it's going to affect their engagement with the game. And the role modelling side of it too. You know, what you don't want is a bunch of elite athletes being proven to being, you know, drug abusers, because that has a shocking impact on people for whom they are role models as well. The stakes are really very high in this. And you know, the risks shouldn't really be underestimated. And I think what's really important now is we get names in the public domain, we get clubs, names, whoever these people are that are responsible, with proof, and we get prosecutions or cases taken against them by the governing bodies, and we are seen to be punishing that sort of behaviour, because it can't be allowed to go on.
Gordon, thanks very much for joining us. Gordon Farquhar is the BBC sports correspondent, joining us from London, where this story has been very big news on the BBC and other sports, other news outlets. It's 21 past 6 on Breakfast.